You know, I'll bet there are millions of people who believe that Florida is an extension of a nightclub floor. Showbiz, cavalcade of stars, knights dancing the rare exotic Latin American dances, drinking banana daiquiris, and listening to Barbara Streisand. For me, and I guess maybe a couple of million other people, Florida is something else.
Well, when I come out of the service, I had a dozen things wrong with me. And I would say this is the best hospital I ever hit. Right here. No drugs. No nightmares, no pain, but nature's rough treatment was the damn best medicine that I ever took. For the simple reason that when I come down here, I was ill. I couldn't get around, stiff.
Seaway Ernie is a proud man. He lives in an old abandoned boat on the shore of Mosquito Key. You can see it there.
Well, that is not the principal reason. The principal reason was money. No place to stay with the pension that I get. There isn't a place in Florida where I can live comfortably and eat the way I like to eat. If you walked in a restaurant, you were fed some doggone stuff that made you sick. And you didn't go into that restaurant, you walk into another and the same thing happened. It seems there was a car following you around. Well, just get you to bitch, just to heal you a bit. I was in the Army, and I was a kid who came out of Chicago, where the winters are cold and hard and long and mean. They just don't let up. The water is covered with silt and sludge. The few rivers they have seem to be made out of oil. All of a sudden, I found myself in the Army. I was trained, training camp. It was bitter cold. One night, he shipped in a sealed train, hour after hour after hour after hour. He moved through the night. And then about 8 o'clock on the second day, I woke up
and looked out through a thin slit that we had cut in the seal in our Pullman car. And I couldn't believe the sight that I saw. Sometimes even now, 3 o'clock in the morning, against the ceiling of my room, magnificent flame tree with great red blossoms. I've never seen a tree in my life like that before. And a few hours later, we were in the Everglades, right next to the Gulf of Mexico, where the water just rolls in from the coast of Yucatan, steadily, endlessly, on and on. And the greatest shellfish in the world, just millions and millions of rare exotic shells, lay along the beach.
Do you know that I'd hold up a loaf of bread a slice at a time, and the seagulls would come down and gallimander around and take a bite as they passed by until I fed the whole loaf to them? I used to go down into the cellar where it was damp and cool for relief. But down in here, you can get right out into the breeze and under a shady tree, and you're comfortable. Out in the sun, you boil. But by golly, you get in the shade, and it's just lovely. The summers are beautiful down here, with the exception of the gnats and the beetles.
I suppose some people do think Florida's nothing but Barbara Streisand, Eddie Fisher. These guys are fishing for a rare bird, the stone crab. You ever heard of the stone crab? It's one of the great delicacies. And the stone crab exists only along certain parts of the west coast of Florida on the Gulf Coast. It's a strange-looking crab with great white and gold and orange pincers. Angry crab. He's called stone crab because the shell that he has is harder than any stone, actually, than I've ever seen. And they're beautiful. You eat them with cold mustard sauce. A little white wine.
It plugs the gills. Now, when there's a storm and the water is a muddy gray, a grayish color, there's no fish around. The waters are still. But when you get 2.5-3 feet depth of clear water, why, 3 years ago, that place was alive all night long. You could hear the snook jumping. You could hear the jaws snapping. You could see the porpoises coming up and feed. And believe it or not, there was one porpoise named Gertie, chased Dorothy Miller right up on the beach where I was able to net him. She was playing a spot between 100 feet from the pier up on the beach at low tide. And she just ran those mullet right up onto the beach where I was able to net them.
Then there was the time in the Everglades late at night when I was lying there in the tent, absolutely without any thought about what's about to happen, because nothing really happens when you're in a tent and a radar company in the middle of the Everglades. Life just goes on. So you don't think much about time. You hardly even think of what month it is, what day it is in the week. Must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. Lying there in our tents, I'm sound asleep, and you can hear the radar. If you're awake, you can hear the radar going all the time, night and day, that steady humming beat. All of a sudden, just outside the tent, something let go. I turned over and I looked at Gasser, who was in the bunk across the tent from me. I said, "Hey, Gasser! Sergeant Kowalski's finally flipping!" He just lay there and listened. He was a bull alligator, looking for a big... And it was about that time, I think, that I began to fall totally and completely in love with the Everglades, the Gulf Coast, and long nights. And on the nights when we were off, when we wanted to get the sound of the radar out of our ears, we'd come over to the coast, walk around these little towns, 8, 9 o'clock at night, the palm trees rustling, go to the Dairy Queen, shift from foot to foot, and head back into the Glades. Sometimes when the temperature's down around 15 degrees, and winter seems to have been going on forever, my office up in New York, I look up at the wall of a picture, big blown up Kodachrome slide of a pelican just floating in the blue waters off of Goodland. I know that those people are down there just living, walking around, riding bikes, going fishing, stopping by for a Dairy Queen. The west coast of Florida is as different from the east coast of Florida as the Sahara Desert is different from the East River. The water has a curious green, gray, coral, yellow beauty to it. You can see right through to the bottom. I guess it must be the wind or something, or the air, the convection currents. You even get good golf shots off once in a while. And on the next hole, I went over a hill, chasing a short iron shot in the sun, and there laying right next to my ball, not more than 5 or 6 feet away, right on the shore of a tiny water hole, was a gigantic 14-foot alligator. Big Albert, He eats crow flight golf balls for breakfast. And he eats golfer for dinner. Well, I don't know what the chorus rules are. Whether you drop a ball or whether you try to bounce one over Ernie or Albert. All I know is that I just walked up awful careful. I decided I'd let him have the ball. I dropped another one, took a stroke, and went on.
And would you believe it, the first time I had a diving board and a pier out here, and the first dive I took off that damn thing, I walked right from into a hammerhead. And I just turned and I slowly paddled in. I hadn't taken a jump into that water since. I take me a bath, eat them in here, or I launch my John boat, fill it full of water, and lay in my John boat. But by golly, walking into a hammerhead. And if I told you that down by the Pink Motel, I see a Marco shark come up 4 feet and barrel roll, and I see kids skiing on the bay, I wouldn't ski it on the bet. I did try. There was a group down here and at low tide. I thought I'd try it, and I fell on the stage on the first try, and I quit. Or he quit.
I've often wondered what it is that makes the guy into a fisherman. I think that the world is... Uh-oh, wait a minute. There's a little action there. The world is divided into two kinds of people. Uh-oh, I have some action. I have a fish, friend. There you go. He's off. They're in here. I think the world's divided into the two kinds of people. There's the fishermen, and then there's the bad guys. I remember one time I was in the Army, and I got stationed in a place down here in the Everglades. And four of us, one guy from Kansas, myself, I was from Indiana, the guy from Illinois, Zinsmeister, and the other guy was from South Dakota. You know, when you live in South Dakota or Illinois or Indiana, the idea of the ocean, it's a thing you read about in stories like Moby Dick. And we came down to Palm Beach. We rented a boat. One of these day boats where you go out and go deep sea fishing. And we went out for about 4 hours in this boat. And between the four of us, I don't think we had $65. And they charged us $40 for the half day. We got out about 20 minutes out into that pitching Gulf Stream. And it was a fantastic sight. All four of us, almost on cue, got seasick. And I mean so sick it was like a vision of purgatory. Well, we got out to the Gulf Stream. We sat out there in the sun. I'll tell you, the sun down here in Florida is a sun that has a special character of its own. It's a malevolent sun sometimes, especially when you're out in the water. That sun sat above us. We sat in that boat, that green water moving on all sides. Zinsmeister looking over the back there, down into that water. I'm up in the bow. And we were bottom fishing. We had these great big baits. In fact, the bait looked bigger than any fish I'd ever seen anybody catch. Tremendous bait. We sat out there for about 2 hours with that sun baking down. Well, finally, the captain says, well, I guess that's it. We hadn't even had a fight. He started up the boat, and we started back in across those waves again. And 10 minutes later, all of us are hanging over that fantail, letting it go again. There was more of it there. We hadn't even tapped the first time. We finally arrived on the pier. Each one of us 25 pounds lighter, baked in the sun, covered with blisters. We walked on back towards the shack where we had our Jeep parked. Zinsmeister got in the front of the Jeep. I got in the back. Edwards was over there to the right. Gasser was next to me. Zinsmeister got the Jeep going. We started to head back to the upper place. We rode for about 5 minutes in silence, except for the stomach growling. All of a sudden, Gasser says, you know, night we lay in the tent talking about it. How we fished in the Gulf Stream. Somehow we were one with Ernest Hemingway, Captain Ahab, all the other great fishermen of the past. Ever since that time, I've just never been able to stop. Whenever I get near water, especially whenever I get near salt water, I gotta fish. That's what I'm doing right now, today. Either gets in your blood or it doesn't. You know, I have a feeling that Captain Ahab wasn't chasing a white whale after all. You know, when it was all said and done, only a fisherman could really understand Moby Dick. Captain Ahab was pursuing the ultimate fish. He was basically a fisherman. And fishermen are lonely, angry men. They got a vision all their own. And the others will never understand. And the others will never understand. But today I think I'll catch one for Zinsmeister. Gasser, Edwards. Before the day is out, I may even snag one for old Ahab himself.
Seaweed Ernie is a proud, hard, tough man who lives on Mosquito Key all by himself. There's not another soul on the island except for his 21 raccoons, and he has a name for each one of them, and he knows each one by sight. Ernie lives in an abandoned boat. Here it is. Great eyes painted on it. You're looking at a genuine loner. And here's the trees hung with his paintings. He just paints to keep his life alive. People and things that interest him. And his entire life biography, he's kept on paper plates. The kinds you get on pies. He's illustrated his life with little tiny drawings. He lives like Robinson Crusoe, yes. an easy chair made out of sticks. Paintings of Elizabeth Taylor, horses and the devil. Seaweed Ernie. He's out there tonight.
Do you consider yourself a hermit, Ernie?
No. No, I don't consider myself a hermit. But for the simple reason that I could go out tomorrow in Sunday's best and remember the things that I was taught, which is proper, and to handle myself as a man in the public view should handle himself. Now, I have no diplomas, and I'm not a VIP. But I will say this, that I enjoy life. From sun up to sunset and then beyond. There's my raccoon cat. Tabby! Tabby! You come? Tabby! Come on, go! Hurry, hurry!
When did you decide to come down here for?
Well, when I came out of the service, I had a dozen things wrong with me. And I would say that this is the best hospital I ever hit. Right here. No drugs, no nightmares, no pain, but nature's rough treatment was the damn best medicine that I ever took. For the simple reason that when I come down here, I was ill. I couldn't get around. Stiff.
What made you decide to live on an island?
Well, curious in regards to nature's ways.
You say you're part nature.
Well, that is not the principal reason. The principal reason was money. No place to stay with the pension that I get. There isn't a place in Florida where I can live comfortably and eat the way I like.
Picture of her, is it?
That I hadn't seen before. I observed the landscape. The sea in the sky takes on a velvety touch of softness that is hard to describe unless you actually see it and able to see it night after night. You can appreciate nightfall and you can appreciate a dawn, because when I hit Florida, or even when I was traveling to the West Coast, I used to get up at daybreak and climb the highest point of land that I could get to and watch the sun come up.